listening to Landon Nation and Walnut Grove Cast. I have on tonight with, well, for both, really, it's a guest thing, but also a co thing.
It's a double podcast.
It's a double bubble.
Double
bubble. Kelly Milkey, of course, with the double jokes.
I was like, I think anyone who listens to our podcasts, Dr. Quincast and Landon Nation on the regular, would
sure did
probably already known when they heard the double thing.
When's the last thing you heard Yes Lady, right?
Yes Lady.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're all still here. They're all ready. They're all ready for the playing. Everything.
Getting back in the groove.
Letter is T.
Yeah. Some of them I don't actually like really remember. Well, just since we took kind of the hiatus and we're getting back into it. Hiatus of recording, that is. And then it's like I kind of forget about some of them. And then
a baby
I'm like trying to remember all of them.
It's a baby-atus.
A baby-atus, yeah. That sounds like a disease.
Yeah, it sounds terrible. It sounds like I've got a bad case of the baby-atus. It's from eating too much at Pete's Subway. What? Pete's Subway? Is that the original name of Subway?
Sure is.
You sure did.
Yeah, I'm kind of blown away by that, by the way. Like, I just...
Yeah, it was crazy because I had never noticed that on the wrapper before. So I don't know if it's like a new wrapper or if this particular Subway just has different wrappers.
I like it.
Yeah, I just looked at my sandwich wrapper and I was like, it says Pete's Subway. What is that all about?
It's like, does this one say Kelly?
Yeah. Hey, Pete, I think that this sub is yours.
Jules, this one's yours. You know what? Like, Jules has that Subway making thing and she's writing everyone's name.
Oh, yeah.
Kid's totally, genius.
Totally. She's a little sandwich artist.
Yeah, there you go. A sandwich artist. Yeah. We should call Subway and ask them if they know the original name.
Are we calling Subway again? This would be the third time.
I think it'll be too much of a risk. At this point, we're just pranking them. Well, we'll call them again in the future, though. We need a real question.
We had a question last time about the cookie.
Yeah.
How much the foot-long cookie was.
We didn't get a good answer either.
We actually did the same order when I got the Pete Subway wrapper. Yeah. There was some deal that Pete found in, DoorDash or Uber Eats, whichever one it was, where there was some coupon and some deal. It ended up being like we paid like less than $2 for like all of our food, which was actually pretty awesome.
How much?
But like it was like less than $2.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy, right?
That's like T-Mobile.
But somehow... Because I think it was something where it was like there was some coupon, there was like there was some deal where if you spend like a certain amount of money, you get like money off. So to get to the total like that he would have to spend, we did get some of the footlong snacks, like the pretzel and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, so you actually tried these.
Yeah, videos. We did not spring for the footlong cookie though.
Oh, come on. Well, you got to eventually, before you go back to work, you have to at least say, I've tried a footlong cookie.
I just feel like that it's would just ruin cookie. My day. Like, it would ruin my day because then I would feel so bad
you
after
have to
I eat
the whole cookie. You just
No, you have to eat the whole cookie in one sitting. It's the law.
That's why it's only $2 for everything.
Brick you have of the to law. Eat it all. Brick of the law.
You know what? I bet you I don't have that saved here. I would like to. Oh. Breaking the law. There we go. Digging it out on the wheels of steel. I have everything on vinyl. All of the clips are on vinyl. And I just kind of flip them around and put them on.
Right. What are we spinning? What are we spinning next, Mark?
Cocaine.
We should actually make that playlist. And that's one of the things I'm trying to remember, like all the songs that we've played. Because I actually think it would be a pretty good idea to make the playlist.
I have everything very organized on Dropbox, so I can send it to you and you can just see everything.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
That reggae song has to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But you know what? Maybe for Patreons, we'll make like a mixed CD or, I was talking to Pete about this. Him and I, once in a while, we'll get into a conversation. I'm like, this is like just the weirdest conversation. But I was saying, do you know what an 8-track is? It's not really in your generation, though. So I have, I collect a lot of recording devices, and I have an 8-track recorder, like a professional 8-track recorder. So I can actually make my own 8-track mix. Mm-hmm. And I have a bunch of blanks. So I'm like, I've always wanted, and the reason why I got this is I really wanted to make, like a demo of my music on an 8-track. I think it's funny. But, mm-hmm. you know, since I'm not really recording my music anymore, why not put, like, podcast clips on an 8-track? Which would just be so funny, right? And have, like, the cover art and stuff be kind of funny.
Well, I still think we should try to get, like, a third man pressing.
You know what? We could do a pressing. We could do a cassette, because cassettes are kind of coming back.
Ooh, yeah.
Or we can just do a CD. We can do a CD and just mail it out to Patreons. It's cheap and easy to do this.
It's the next third man vault package.
Hand burned on my PC. So what episode are we talking about tonight?
We are talking about The Richest Man in Walnut Grove.
Yeah, it's not been done yet. I don't know how this episode has not been recorded yet.
Well, I'm very excited to be recording it with you because I love the episode. It's a fantastic episode. And since we're doing our double podcast, since we're doing our double show, it's perfect for Landon Nation, of course, because it's a very good Michael Landon episode. I mean, it's a good, like, entire Ingalls family episode, too. They all have moments where they're kind of shining in it. Even Carrie.
Carrie's shining. Yeah.
Everybody gets their moment in it. But it's a really, really great Michael Landon episode.
This aired September 10th, 1975, almost an exact year after the 50th. So maybe next year we should release this. So this is the 50th. Next year is 2025. So yeah, it would be the 50th anniversary of this episode next year.
That's crazy.
That's nuts. And yeah, I think it's kind of interesting. Also, it's also interesting that Bonanza aired for the very first time on September 12th.
I was thinking that when you shared that post in the group. I'm like, wow, it's only like one day later. Like the anniversary is just one day.
Oh. I mean, I know that that's when TV networks would have their fall.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's not that big of a coincidence, but it's still kind of cool, though.
It's kind of close, right? I mean,
yeah.
And this is the season opener for season two. So
it sure is.
It sure is, and they hit it right out of the park.
Which is kind of interesting, because the season opener for season one, not counting like the pilot, like after the pilot, season opener in season one,
mm-hmm.
Harvest of Friends is sort of like a similar, like, kind of similar in a way, where it's like Michael Landon, it's like, portraying the, like, well, they kind of like just got to town, but then they have like the hardship, and then they have the whole thing at the end with the town like pitching in. It's kind of like a similar sort of theme, except here it's like there's like the hardship, but then it's like the whole family pitching in to but it's kind of like a similar sort of vibe, I think, between the two episodes.
Have you ever milked a cow? That's my question.
I have not.
Me either. I mean, I don't think I'd have a problem doing it, but it would really bring things home, really make you think about that bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
But Carrie did learn how to milk a cow.
There you go.
Also, why is Mary or Laura not doing this? Right? Isn't this kids' work? Or Charles just enjoys it. Or Charles is going to teach Carrie. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, maybe it was like that Carrie wanted to. So then he's like, well, I'll help you with it.
Huh? All right. So.
Or maybe he just wanted to say hi to the cow. He has a special bond with the cow.
Lady cow. So here's Jack chasing the chickens. And you'll notice he is a little bit more blonde. He got those blonde highlights.
The fur lights.
He's got like a red tail. What is that? I think that's a stunt dog.
I think that this little scene is like really kind of cute with how he's just walking with Carrie. Yeah, and she's like carrying the milk, and
we don't see this type of thing too often.
And it's just like, it's one of those scenes where like you're just like, oh, what a good dad, you know, like it just like has this really nice feel to it, and he's just like helping her with the chores, and like she's being really cute.
The whole episode has that kind of vibe to it.
Oh, totally. It's like this is one of those episodes where, I mean, like kind of the whole series, he's supposed to kind of be like the great husband, father, family man. Mm-hmm. But there are a handful of episodes where you're like, wow, he just seems like the best husband and father like ever. And this is one of those episodes where you're just like, wow, this is like family man of the year.
You know, Carrie carried that bucket better than Laura did when she was pregnant.
Yeah, I know, right?
She did splash it a little bit, though.
Bet you can't guess what Carrie just did.
Now, there's a lot of good breakfast here. I really want breakfast right now. I mean,
it's a lot of eggs and stuff.
Yeah, like I can go for a little scramblies and bacon and fresh milk. Although I've given up milk. I don't know if I told you that.
You did. You told me last time we recorded that you gave up
dairy. I'm still off the milk.
You're off the cow.
I'm off the cow. Actually, I had a little bit of cheese and it made me feel like poop.
Hey, Pa.
Go ahead, tell him.
I get to milk the cow.
Wow.
Real fine job, too.
Well, she's getting to be a big girl. She'll be helping with all the chores, and you'll see.
Not really, though. We're looking forward. Carrie doesn't really get to do any chores. Yeah, like she's always considered the little girl.
And this episode actually has one of the few lines that you can actually understand what she's saying. But it's like a nice little Carrie moment. And it's kind of, I mean, they could have developed her a little bit, but they never did.
I feel like they tried to at the end and it was too late.
Right. Yeah. Because then she was like already like in that. She was like kind of an accessory, really. Yeah. You know, like, I don't know. It was just weird.
It's like, quick, give her pigtails. It's like, oh, too late. Dagnabbit.
Yeah. Want me to teach you how to clean up the chicken coop?
No!
I thought you'd say that.
So there's some decent banter going on here. I mean, imagine like falling in love with Little House on the Prairie first season, right? And then you get Little House back and you're like, wow, I feel like it's just the same show. Like they didn't swap out Ma, you know, they didn't replace anybody and it feels good. Mary sitting on this side of the table is a rarity. We don't normally see people sitting on that side.
Finished cutting that big order today.
I feel like we do see people on that side in other episodes.
I don't think so. No.
I think we do.
I mean, I know that we have seen them on that side.
Okay, fine, Mark. Fine. I'll watch the entire series from beginning to end, and I will count all the times that it happened.
37 times. That'll be the night. 37 times. I just usually the camera is there and it would show the back of their heads. That's all.
And the rest of it shift.
Because you know, when Grace comes, Grace will be like here and Carrie's like in the corner and they usually squeeze Mary and Laura and Albert and then Blondie's out of there. You know. But you know. Hey, you want to be right? Fine, be right.
I'm always right.
By tomorrow.
Will you have to credit in the Mankato?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Well, at least that's the end of it.
Well, if I think you're happy, you can imagine how Hansen feels. He hasn't had a penny coming in for 2 months now.
What is that? Like Canadian bacon? It was loud. It was like kunk kunk.
I'm surprised you'd make a deal like that.
Well, it's like I told you, it's a big company. They pay when the order's complete, not before. It's either that or they give the contract to somebody else. I'm going to have 2 months' wages by the end of the week.
I think it's like a little piece of ham or something.
That bread looks good.
Yeah, the bread looks pretty good. I'm eyeing the bread.
We'll be rich, Pa.
Kind of. Just until I get to Olson's Mercantile and pay back all the money I owe.
I'll feel rich, but really I'm just getting the same exact amount of money I would have normally gotten.
Right.
Just all at once.
I'll be glad when you do. Every time I go in with the eggs, Mrs. Olson spends all of her time reminding me.
Karen Gressley is a pretty nice tan here.
Yeah.
She spent like
in the earlier seasons, her hair is more like on the sides, like comes kind of more like forward over her ears.
Mm.
I feel like later on it's like not so much like that.
Not poofy.
He has like these little
wisps.
Like, kinda, like, yeah, yeah, like little curly wisp things.
How much we owe.
Ma, I need another paper tablet and my pencil's down to where I can hardly hold it.
By the way, here's the other money we need to spend.
Right.
To have to wait, dear. We can't charge anything until that bill is paid.
It'll just be a few more days, Don.
What's that?
Cash on the barrel.
That's right.
My tablet's only halfway used, and my pencil's plenty long.
Well, it wouldn't be if you did as much homework as your sister.
Womp womp.
Now go on, finish your breakfast. We'll ride into town together.
Moron! You're lazy. This is kind of cute where Jack leaves and he chases after them and then just kind of like, hey, squops
he's
down.
No stranger to being behind the wagon.
Right. He's like, are we going to go through the river again? It's supposed
to die last time.
It's supposed to rain tonight. I'm following you. It's such a beautiful dog. A little dirty looking, but you know, hey, all dogs get dirty.
Yeah, my dogs get dirty. Dig it in the backyard.
So at the Mercantile, we have Harriet in kind of a foul mood throughout the entire episode.
Good day, Mrs. Olson.
Oh, my back is killing me again.
Nell's like rolling his eyes.
Again and again.
Did you say something, Nils?
Oh, no. No, dear. I was just checking these shoe sizes. And a 10 and a 10.
Nice cover.
Yeah.
4 size.
2 dozen today. Just credit it to our account.
Well, at this rate, I'll be dead and buried by the time this is paid for.
Oh, my husband
you
said
you must
that...
realize, of course, Mrs. Ingalls, that everything that you purchase here has already been paid for by us months ago.
I understand that.
Well, now, no one extends credit to us, Mrs. Ingalls. It's cash. Hard cash. That's the way we operate.
Cash on the barrel.
I'm not cash on the barrel.
Running a charity here.
I know. My husband said...
I don't think it's very fair of you to take advantage of a friendship.
So I'm going to let this play through just because some of these scenes are just really, really great. And I think
yeah,
you like this scene as
well. I agree.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
I could hardly take advantage of something that doesn't exist.
Well, that's gratitude for
no,
you.
No, that's truth.
Now, you let me tell you something, Mrs. Ingalls.
No, let me tell you something, Mrs. Olson. My husband will be in to pay the bill in full by the end of the week.
Well.
Good day, Mrs. Olson. Come on, Carrie. Bam.
Little Carrie.
Yeah, I really like that line about you can't take advantage of something that doesn't exist.
She also pulls it off really well. Like, when she first snaps at Harriet, it almost... Like, I'm kind of believing the character a little bit. She almost is surprised at herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it.
Letter from the bank in Mankato. Payne's Construction Company is bankrupt. What?
What? It's like,
that's the most terrible thing I've ever heard.
Pay for yourself.
With all that work, all the lumber we ship, they gotta pay us something.
Oh, yeah, sure. But they've got to pay their other creditors, too. That takes time, and then you get down to pennies on the dollar.
Sorry.
So am I. They won't pay me, and I can't pay you.
So you bring up, you know, he should be paid, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess back then there was no protection.
Right. I mean, I feel like now this would totally not fly, right?
I
mean, maybe
a contract of some sort.
Yeah, like maybe depending on, right, if, like if you sign a contract and what the contract stipulated. But I just feel like it just feels so illegal to have done work and not get paid for it.
Right. It seems a little sketchy on Hansen's side.
Yeah. Well, and it's almost, right, it does seem sketchy so that even if it's not like, you know, there aren't like the laws and everything in place at this point like there are now, it does seem kind of sketchy to the point where you would almost think that Paul might be like, I don't know if he's really like, you know, a great guy to be working for. I mean, got screwed over, you know?
It's like kind of like, well, Hanson, you owe me money, so I guess I own part of this mill now or something.
Right, yeah. Or like, you can come work at my farm. Hanson. Ooh, Hanson has a farm labor reform camp.
He'll be his butler. That'd be kind of funny if Hanson was his butler.
That would actually be pretty funny.
So yeah, he's just not doing well. So we're back at the... we're just...
The back little at the, house.
Yeah, the little house.
I really had it out with Mrs. Olson today. She just kept going on and on about the bill. She wouldn't let me get a word in edgewise. You should have seen the look on her face when I told her.
Poor Caroline, this is like the event of her month. She can't wait to tell him about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like he's like... barely even stopped the wagon and she's like already yelling about it.
Right. She's been telling Carrie all day and Carrie's like, oh, Ryan. Yeah. I was there, I know. But yeah, like it's really just the whole thing is very sad. So she sees Charles is not, something's wrong, so he goes over, and I kind of like the fact that we didn't get this conversation, that we know exactly what's going to be said.
Yeah, that's like another one of these scenes that I think it's just really well done in this episode, and it's kind of like we're seeing it from Carrie's perspective, because she's like sitting there, and then of course she'd look over, and then, you know, her parents are,
yeah,
She'll see them saying they're talking. So it's like we're kind of seeing it like from her perspective.
Oh, that's true too. I didn't really think about that at all.
But then of course, like, we kind of know a little bit more than Carrie, you know, the kind of,
yeah,
what they're talking about. You have an idea, of course, of, you know, kind of what they're saying, but
yeah, if it was Carrie, she'd just be looking at the outhouse every 3 seconds.
Right.
Oh, gotta go. So this is a nice shot. Like, we have Pa playing fiddle. Everybody's just kind of listening and watching. The camera's kind of panning over.
I would love to just, like, sit there and listen to the fiddle and just kind of like space out and stare at the fire. That would be such a good way to relax.
It would be. It totally. But wait, I'm going to play it again because there's a slight different cut that we have to do that. I was almost about to push the button. And you're like, I'd love to.
Oh, sorry.
No, you didn't know. Yeah, he played Eruption.
Wow. He was really shredding it.
Yeah, he played Eddie Van Halen's Eruption. Whoa. So it was pretty crazy.
Laura couldn't believe it.
I don't know if that really worked out, but she seemed amazed. You know?
Well, right. So visually it did. So, I mean, if people watch the video of this, you know, they might enjoy that.
I hope so. We have Laura giving herself a pedicure.
With her mouth. The oral pedicure. That sounds weird.
What are you doing?
The oral pedicure.
Getting off a hangnail.
It went away, by the way.
I'm sorry. I just feel like it's not a good idea for a variety of reasons to do this. Not just as country girls, but as people. Like, you should not be tearing your toenails off with your teeth.
It's weird.
Yeah. Funny, but weird.
Are you asleep?
No, I can't sleep.
Neither can I.
Also, when she was like already talking to Mary, and then she's like, "Are you asleep?"
Right. She does that kind of often, right? Like it does happen from time to time. Sorry, I'm gonna pause this just for a second. Sorry about that and my unprofessionalism. But now back to the show.
I quit.
So we have the girls, and they're just basically, they're a little concerned because Charles is, you know, playing that heavy metal music and stuff like that, and that's not common for Charles.
They're like, they know that he's going through something.
Yeah, right.
Pa looks so sad tonight.
I know. It's just not fair, working so hard and then this happens.
Oh, this will happen repeatedly. Well, for you are in Ingalls. You will never be rich.
You know what's interesting is Laura's, like, she has her coffin pose going with her arms.
Yeah, she does. That's kind of weird.
A little bit creepy. So let's see. We get to Charles and he can't sleep. Caroline's like, "Can I make you some warm milk?" He's like, "I don't want your damn milk." Okay,
I just want a gallon of coffee, right. et cetera.
So I'm going to go to, like, heading into town. They're getting ready to head into town to kind of explain to Nels what's going on, and Caroline's going to go along.
All ready when you are.
I don't know why you don't let me take the eggs into town for you. Save you that walk back.
Harry and I like to walk, especially on a beautiful day.
I have to stop in Olson's. I can't pay the bill I owe.
I thought you would.
After what you said to Mrs. Olson the other day, I just thought...
I know what you thought. Why put off till tomorrow what's bound to come sooner or later?
Well, she's not going to be easy on you, you know.
I hope she isn't. If she were nice about it, I'd have to like her. That would ruin my whole day.
That's another one of those lines that I like a lot. I think this episode is just really well written.
I think so.
You know, there are a lot of lines that I think are... It's really great.
Yeah. It's a really easy episode to watch. That's why I'm so surprised that it hasn't been covered. It's really weird.
Yeah, because it's such a great episode.
It is.
Mrs. Olson?
Good morning, Mr. Ingalls.
24
Carrie's like, what am I? I'm not here?
2 days early. We weren't expecting you until the end of the week, Mr. Ingalls.
Harriet?
Well... I'm only repeating what I was told. Isn't that correct, Mrs. Ingalls?
So they're well aware.
Like it would be a fault to come in earlier to pay your bill.
But they're well aware of what's going on at Hanson's and their financial situation.
Right.
And
right.
Just to kind of like, I don't know, like twist the knife like this, like what is the advantage here? Like we get it. You own the mercantile. You have money.
Right.
Like, is this really what you need to do with your day? Like, totally crap on the people who don't have any money in front of their child? You know, it's so... petty.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it is definitely one of those, like, Harriet is so often not a nice person. But then sometimes she is actually, like, a really sweet
person.
Yeah,
like, she has her moments, like, but...
Yeah. Oh, and as a side note, the dress that Harriet is wearing is one of my favorite ones that she has.
The green? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it. It's a very nice dress.
Very nice. I think you could find that dress on Temu.
Yeah, right?
It's the Harriet Olsen collection.
That is correct.
Well, we ran into Hanson this morning. He told us what happened.
Because I'm... Sorry, I don't know when I'm going to be able to pay the bill. It'll be as quick as I can.
You mean how Hanson completely ripped me off and I just worked for him like a
chump?
Yeah, like a chump.
I know that.
But not by the end of the week, I take it.
No, I'm afraid not, Mrs. Olson. Knows I'd appreciate if I could just keep my account open here. I won't be charging much, just necessities.
Certainly.
Now, just a moment. You already owe us a tidy sum, and now you want to charge more?
Harriet?
Well, I am speaking, Nels.
That's the same tone that I use with my beagle, Harriet.
I am speaking!
And I'll be like, when Nels is like, Harriet?
Not the one.
I have to do that with my dog.
When he goes,
tidy sum, and now you want to charge more?
Harriet?
Yeah, it's like that's. I need to clip that to use it with the dog.
That's funny.
Well, I am speaking, Nels. Now, you are not the one who was insulted by Mrs. Ingalls here. If you expect charity from us and want to keep your account open, then I expect a full apology from your wife here for the remarks that she made to me yesterday.
Harriet, please.
I am waiting, Mrs. Ingalls.
Well, you're going to have a long wait, Mrs. Olson.
Uh-oh.
I'll pay that bill as soon as I can, Nels.
Oh, I know that, Charles. I'm sorry.
I understand. Come on, family.
Pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18.
Correction. It is pride goeth before destruction, Mrs. Olson, and as for the rest of it, I'd fall in the Grand Canyon before I'd let my wife go begging to you.
I love that scene for Pa. That's one of those scenes where you're just like, he's like the best husband.
Yeah. Because it looked like Caroline was like, all right, I'm sorry that, you know, said it.
Yeah.
Now give me some coffee. That's it. Charles is going around looking for work. And yeah, we have Hans Dorfler, who seems really nice, right? He was helpful with Laura. I love the Dorf. With Bunny.
Yeah.
Or the horse. I forget which one it was.
Bunny. Yeah, mm-hmm. With the race. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that he always seems like really nice whenever we get little snippets of him. And I kind of think that we could have used a little more of him. Yeah. I would have been okay with that.
He's not bad.
Queen.
He wears kind of a Robert E. neckerchief.
He kind of does, yeah. Right? It's the blacksmith like style.
Well, it's kind of like his
the oath sleeves?
Bandana. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the horse is cared for. I just can't afford the luxury of paying somebody to do it.
Give you a lot of free time for other things.
Yeah, true enough. Oh, that's Bernie Charles. Tell you the truth, the money I could offer is so small that I'm just too embarrassed to even mention it.
Try me, Hans. I need the work.
Now, how long do you figure it would take you to clean and curry each day?
I say 2-3 hours at the most.
25 cents a day, and I wish it was more.
Don't apologize for giving me a job.
I mean, that's some hard work for 25 cents.
I know, it's so little.
Yeah, and that's about $7.50 a day. But you know, I guess you know Charles is like any amount of money is good at this point because
desperate.
I was screwed over by the Swede. The guy who lives in that big mansion.
Right.
With statues, and his house is nicer than even the Olsen's.
Which, by the way, what is the deal with that house? Because after he died and then it became the blind school, but the blind school burned down, then suddenly in season 9, it exists again. Because that episode when, like, the old people have, like, their uprising.
Right, their uprising. They're uprising. Well, you know what? It's like an episode of Cocoon. You know, all of a sudden there's old people living in Walnut Grove, and it's like, are you kidding me?
It's like, where have they been the whole time?
Yeah, like,
yeah, and they're all like the original residents and stuff. And it's like, how come we've never seen any of you?
And Maddie, you know, it's like all these people all of a sudden are there for 52 years, I think it was.
Yeah, it's just totally crazy. But anyway, they clean up the Lars mansion.
But then it is the blind school, right?
Yeah, it was the blind school, but the blind school burned down, as we know.
Yeah.
So how is it back in season 9? It's the house that just won't quit.
It's a time loop. Time loop. So let's see. Charles goes over... At first, I really didn't like McKay. I remember like watching this. I'm like, something sketchy about this guy. But he ends up being a really great character. I don't know what a pug mill is.
I don't either.
I never heard the phrase. I'm not going to look it up. But I'm assuming it's some type of channel for water so that you can irrigate other parts of your farm. That's
it. Work with you on a pug mill. Not your boys going to school full time. So you got a problem.
Yeah, well, it must be an underground spring or something. I don't know. It just seemed to happen overnight.
What are you going to do?
I'll have to build me a new pug mill.
I'd be much obliged if I could help you build it. I need a job.
Why, sure, I couldn't find a better man. I'll let you know as soon as I get started.
When do you think it'll be?
It'll have to be after winter. I couldn't get anything done before the snow flies.
Cash on the barrel.
I'll just have to wait it out.
It's in his head over and over again.
Cash on the barrel. Now, let me know when you want to get started.
Sure.
He actually, yes. I think, has Tourette's, and that's just like what he yells out all the time.
Cash on the barrel.
Come in the house and then have a bit of cider.
No, I've got a lot to do, thank you.
All right.
I'll see you.
This is I don't know what episode this is from, but this is also a really funny Harriet thing. Like,
get a job!
Oh, that is, she...
Oh, that's where she lost the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, she
or lost... Or she invested the church money, or whatever she did with the church money.
Oh, no, I think this
was... Wait, was that church money, or was that just other money?
No, this was money because she was eavesdropping.
Right, right.
Get a job!
Oh, right, because to catch her... Right, and cross connections, right, to
yes,
catch her...
Yes, yes.
When they had the banker call to make a weird investment.
Yeah,
and
Anderson.
She was eavesdropping. Yeah, yeah, I remember that now. I think the church money thing was in that fire episode that we were talking about the other day.
Yeah, the church money. I mean,
doesn't she bet on the fights with the church money?
I don't. How come I don't remember that at all?
Because then Nels was like kind of yelling at her about it, but she's like, "I'm the treasurer of the church." And I don't know.
So yeah, Charles is like, he looks around. He's like, "Hey, it's not
look
up
that
to
face.
You. It's not
look
up to you.
Face.
It's up to me." We're doing it. We're doing it anyway.
Wait, so, hold on. I want to grab a screenshot of this face because that's funny.
It is funny. Do you want me to grab a screenshot?
I got it.
All right. I'll just grab one.
All right.
Double screenshot.
Double screenshot.
So let's see. They basically talk it over a little bit.
Well, I see you've changed your mind about
the
cider.
Cash on the barrel. No, I didn't. I just wanted to find out, what's it going to cost you to build that new pug mill?
Oh, I don't know exactly, but like I said, I'm not going to start till after winter.
I know that, but what if you could use the old one?
You figured out a way for me and me mule to work underwater?
No, but I think I can get it drained.
So he's going to do his... the guy can be a wheelwright. He can dig drainage paths.
He's a jack of all trades.
He's that book. That book I have.
Yeah, I know. He reads up at night about, like, what job can I do tomorrow?
Pug mill.
What? Who can I walk up to tomorrow and tell them that I work for them?
McKay.
That's what... That's what Pete and I always joke about that Charles does, where, like, he just, like, walks up and he's like, this is my job.
Cash on the barrel. Well, if everything goes all right at McKay's, it's going to take me 3 months to pay the Olson bill.
By the way, when he says cash on a barrel, I want you to listen to his tone because it's very similar to...
I don't want you ever, ever to go against an order I give you again. Do you understand? Do you understand?
This is the unedited version, so there's a much longer wait for it.
That's doing without.
Well, Mr. Olson said that he was willing to extend a little credit.
No. And not on your life. Not after what that woman had to say. I'll tell you something else. Once we pay the bill at the Olsons, from now on, anything we purchase there is going to be cash on the barrel. Is that understood?
Is that understood? You're the person who goes in debt. It's like Mary's going in there and charging candy or something.
Yeah, the first person that goes into debt is sleeping in the barn.
Cash on the barrel.
It's not only understood, it's what we hope you'd say.
But it's just not a reality, is it?
Well, it's like he says cash on the barrel until the next time he wants to charge something.
Right. So Mary's like, I'm going to go to work.
And, well, her fingers just don't do everything they
talk about Mrs. Whipple.
Used to with a needle and thread. Anyway, I asked if she could use me full-time for a while instead of just part-time, and she said she sure could.
What are you telling me? I'm going to get you to quit school and go to work?
It's only for a little while, until we catch up. Laura can bring my homework home.
And I can do Mary's chores. And Ma and I could sell the vegetables.
Somebody's carried in and go, I'll do her homework.
And we can plant
I
a double
love
size.
The cow.
The cow.
Potato crop for winter store. And I can milk the cow.
We can do it, Pa. We can help.
Cash on the barrel.
Please let us help, Pa.
Cash on the barrel. Cash on the barrel. Cash on the barrel.
It sounds like some, like, remix.
You kind of want to put a big echo on it or something.
Cash on the barrel.
I don't have that capability at the moment to put echo on it. Sorry. That's it. It's over. But yeah, this is a sweet little thing.
What a family. It does make a man proud.
Then you'll let us?
I couldn't do it without you.
Aw.
That's just like, oh, what a nice family.
Yeah, it is. So we get a little montage of them all working, which is really nice. And the scarecrow's kind of cool.
So we have Ma in the fields. We have Mary doing her sewing at Mrs. Whipple's.
We have Charles digging his own grave.
That's kind of what it looks like, actually.
It really does. Reverend comes by. It's a nice foot full of mud, like dirt.
Thank you, Charles.
Reverend, I'm sorry. I didn't see you standing there. How are you?
Fine. Now, I heard you were working out here, and I was making a few visits out this way. I thought I'd stop and say hello.
Well, I'm glad you did. Give me an excuse to sit down for a minute. You got a thirst? It's cold.
No, thank you. Now, Charles, every place I stop, I'm obliged to have a cup of tea, and by the time the day's over, I'm sloshing around like a water trough.
My job's so easy, Charles.
Yeah, right? I just drink tea all day.
They literally throw food at me.
Me and Doc Baker.
Yeah, exactly.
Charles, I spoke to Nels Olson this morning.
Nels Olson? Which Nels is this?
Yeah, right.
He's the real reason I'm out here. He wanted to come by himself, but he just couldn't bring himself to do it.
See, I find it weird that Nels would think that Charles, of all people, would hold a grudge or consider him personally to be responsible.
Right. And I mean, because Charles clearly is mad at Harriet. I don't know. Maybe he's just like embarrassed because of her behavior, maybe. But, and that's why he can't bring himself to do it.
So I find Harriet's behavior inexcusable. But money is owed. And
true.
Really, I mean, all right. So again, Harriet, inexcusable. She's being really, really horrible. But she has a point. They did extend credit, and the money is due. So, I don't know. I really can't say. He shouldn't be mad at Harriet for anything outside of her being obnoxious. That's all.
I understand.
And maybe Nels feels a little emasculated. You know, like, it's kind of like, you know, especially in 19th century, your wife is, you know,
he can't keep her in line, kind of thing.
He feels very bad about what happened. He asked me to tell you that.
Well, what happened had nothing to do with Nels. I don't have any grudge against him.
Good. I'll tell him that. And Charles, try not to think too unkindly of his wife. There's good in all people. Just a little bit harder to find in some.
I know what you mean, Reverend. And we're doing fine. I think that good Lord gives us hard times now and then just so we can appreciate the good ones.
Sometimes I think you missed your calling, Charles. You should have been a minister.
Couldn't handle it, Reverend. I don't like tea.
My letter is tea. My sound is tea.
Reverend was like really laughing at the storm there.
Well, I'll let you get back to work. Say hello to the
family. He's all hopped up on all that tea.
But yeah, you're right. Like,
thank you, Mr. Calling, Charles.
And it's funny because he's real quick to get out of there. It's not like he's going to help. Grab a shovel, Rev.
You should have been a minister.
Couldn't handle it, Reverend. I don't like tea.
Well, I'll let you get back to work.
You know,
well, time for my next cup of tea.
I think if you or I did that, right, to somebody, they would be like, why, you're so obnoxious.
Yeah, well.
Well, let me let you get back to work. Jeez. Few people could pull that off.
Say hello to the family for me.
I will. See you Sunday.
So, gets back to work. Yeah, this is that crazy scene, which is just so nasty. He gets a drink of water and pours the water over his head so everyone can now have a taste of Ingalls' sweat.
Which he has done this before. He does it in Harvest of Friends, like the very first episode of the series. When he's in front of the mill, he like does that same thing where he does the ladle over his head, like it's right over the bucket.
So nasty.
And I'm like, yeah, just make everybody drink their sweat.
And I've noticed that Edwards will do something like this, and then he rubs the water on his face.
Yeah, like he rubs it through like his beard, yeah.
But it's like kind of like he's splashing it very close to the water. Like getting his all spittle particles flying around.
Yeah, who knows what's in that beard.
All right, a little piece of corn. So he runs into Harriet, which is a funny little two-second thing.
Get a job!
Good day, Mrs. Olsen.
The get a job clip, actually, something I always think in that episode is when Nels tells her to get a job, yeah. But I'm like, doesn't she have a job?
Yeah, I mean,
like, they run the mercantile.
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
Get a job. And she does sound like a chicken here.
Talk.
She does.
It's so funny. Dun. So, all right, we're back at the house.
I've always got room for berries.
I'm a chicken, mine.
Nice try, Carrie. What did she say?
I'm going to have sugar on mine.
Oh, so she's really twisting the knife there.
Not tonight, dear.
Oh, let her have a little sugar. Won't hurt her.
There isn't any more.
No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight in my tea.
No sugar. I'm going to see the way his eyes are closed. Wait, we're going to play it again. Don't worry.
No tea, no sugar.
No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight in my tea. No sugar to stand beside me. No sugar to run with me. Down.
It's nothing we can't do without.
It's not the doing without that bothers me. It's having to. I mean, after all, we've worked. Everything you've gone through, I can't even give you a little tea and sugar.
No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight in my tea. No sugar to stand beside
cash on the barrel.
Me. No sugar to run with me.
Cash on the barrel.
It won't be for long.
Besides, you always said sugar was bad for your teeth, Pa.
Well, if you're all not complaining, I guess I shouldn't. Okay, we'll have some berries and a cup of coffee.
No sugar tonight. No sugar tonight in my tea. No sugar to stand beside me. No sugar to run with me.
How about just some berries?
Cash on the barrel.
That was the last of the coffee this morning.
You always said too much coffee makes it hard for you to sleep.
It's true. You did say that, Pa.
You sure
did. Did they have a diary of everything he said?
Yes, they do.
Easy, lady. I did say that. Well, if the good Lord provided us with berries and Laura picked them, I think we ought to eat them. Bowls, please.
And this is, like, so sweet because they're just, like, having this nice family moment. But then also I'm like, they're just having a bowl of berries for dinner.
Is it for dinner or dessert?
I thought it was dinner, wasn't it?
I thought it was for dessert. Oh, don't tell me.
Okay, well,
dinner.
If it's dessert, it's not that depressing, I guess.
Wait a minute. It can't be for dinner. Wait.
I thought it was for dinner.
Come on.
Carolyn, supper was delicious.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I missed that line.
You were making me really depressed there for a second. Wait a minute.
Oh, I missed that line. I can't believe I've always missed that line. I've always been like, oh, they're just having berries for supper. That's so sad.
Wait, so speaking of depressing, I brought this up the other day with our review. And so Gold Country, right? That episode. You're familiar mm-hmm. with it, right?
I love that episode.
So I'm going to point out the most horrific scene from that episode that to me is the scariest and creepiest scene of all of Little House on the Prairie's all 9 seasons. And I'm wondering if you know what scene I'm talking about, because so far people don't seem to know about this scene and I didn't notice it. So, all right. So Gold Country is, you have EJ Andre playing Zachariah.
Mm-hmm.
Zachariah is an old miser who struck gold. Winter came, his wife died, and he has a broken heart. He never got over it, had a nervous breakdown. He loved her so much and got greedy, just getting gold, gold, gold. And he buried her in the stream on a bed of gold, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the guy with the mustache came. We didn't see this happen, but he's crying because they basically dug up his wife, threw her to the side like a piece of driftwood, and took the gold, which is horrifying on its own. But when Laura goes to check on Zachariah, he's sitting in his house with his wife's corpse, and we can see her, sort of.
Whoa, I know the scene you're talking about, but I never noticed the corpse.
You gotta watch it again. And you could see her hair, and it's really dark. And she says later to Charles, "Pa, we can't leave him like that. He's in there with her." And
oh my gosh.
Nuts.
What?
Nuts. It blew me away, and you gotta watch it tonight.
I've seen that episode so many times, and I really like the episode. I think it's a great episode, and I know the scene you're talking about, but how did I not
pick up
on the fact that her body is there?
I don't know. I mean, I was wondering if they might have edited it out of versions that I'm just not sure. I don't know how I missed this.
Yeah, the guy with the mustache is such a prick.
You know, but he seems nice at first.
He does. You know? Well, he seemed really nice. His wife seemed like super not nice.
Yeah, right. She was... Oh, yeah, right. I was thinking of... Because it's funny, because the other guy, the Italian guy, is like Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah, he totally is. He's like, we got the vino. We got the, like...
Once I get a cold, everybody gonna come to California, have a lot of vino.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I was talking about the vino, the dancing. He's like, we got the music, we got the vino.
it's the guy's out of his mind crazy. But yeah, really.
Also, when the Mario guy gets shot.
Oh, yeah.
When his son is crying, the tears are coming out of like every hole in his face.
Except his tear ducts.
Right. It's just like all over the place. It's totally crazy.
You know, I thought I took a screenshot. I was going to bring it up, but I guess I didn't. But you got to watch this. To me, that is currently the most horrific scene of all of Little House on the Prairie.
That is so crazy.
And then Charles comes back and the place is on fire because he's committing suicide with his wife's corpse.
Yeah, right, because I remembered when he burned himself, like, in the house and everything, but I just, like, did not pick up on his wife's corpse.
I want to actually look for another version, because I think I would remember this.
Right, that's just...
It's like a Mandela effect type thing. Really, it's crazy. Just like the berries for dinner.
Yeah, I know.
You know, this is a perfect opportunity for... I'm looking through you. Had to find that. Got to throw a Beatles reference in each thing. I guess we did with Yes Lady.
Oh, yeah. Yes Ladies are evergreen.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, sorry I went on that little tangent about that episode, but I'm really blown away by it. When I've told a number of people about it, and they're like, what are you talking about? But nobody's gotten back to me. Yeah, that actually
is really crazy.
You're going to watch it and be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
We'll have to do that episode for Land and Nation sometime.
Yeah, It's a crazy,
a lovely episode.
It's a crazy, crazy episode. So let's see. Miss Beetle confronts Laura about missing assignments.
Laura.
Yes, Miss Beetle.
Look at a little handbag thing. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, very stylish.
Is that, you think that's a purse, or do you think that's like some type of teacher accessory?
It's probably like a purse. I mean, she probably, you know, has a few belongings she has to carry with her.
Yeah, she has her diner's club card, stuff like that.
Laura, you didn't turn in your assignment again today. Now that's two in a row.
I know.
But that's not like you. What's the matter?
It's nothing.
Sit down, Laura. Now we're friends, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, when you have a problem, you should...
I guess. What is... You're my teacher. Don't really see you outside of school. Not my friend. We don't go fishing.
You'd be able to tell a friend, right? Shouldn't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, what is it?
Well, I don't have any more tablet paper left.
So this is very sad, you know, and this is just sad in general. Like, if a kid doesn't have the school supplies to do their work,
right?
You know, even now, it's crazy.
I would have done the assignments, honest. They didn't have anything to write them on.
I see. Well, I'll tell you. I was just on my way over to Olson's Mercantile to get some more tablets for school. Why don't I just pick up two extra for you and Mary?
Oh, no, ma'am. I couldn't let you do that.
Cash on the
now,
barrel.
Wait a minute. I wasn't through. If I get you the tablets, you have to promise me you'll get me some chalk someday when I need it.
So it's kind of like credit in a way, right?
Yeah. Cash.
Whoops.
Cash on the barrel.
But no, I think it's really sweet what she's doing. And
yeah, definitely.
And I think Nellie and Willie are so sweet to Laura in this scene. They're so nice. Actually, I don't think Nellie's been meaner. I think she's like right up there with one. This is like a top five meanest moments for her character.
I wonder why Laura Ingalls doesn't come in the store anymore. Because she's too poor to buy anything. That's why.
Jesus.
Yeah, way to chime in, Willie.
It's like you're waiting for Laura to turn around and be like,
cash on the barrel.
So's her father. He can't even pay what he owes in the store. Yeah. Can't get a decent job either. All he does is dig in the mud and clean up after horses.
My pa works hard.
So does a mule.
You take that back.
I will not. My mother says she's glad your father doesn't come in the store anymore because he smells bad. Smells like a dirty stable. That's all he's good for, clean up after horses.
Jeez, poor Laura. It's like... And now, yeah, of course, Miss Beetle comes out and...
We just said hello, and next thing I knew, she just up and ran off. Isn't that right, Willie?
Yeah, she just up and ran off.
Well, we have to get started on our homework, Miss Beetle. Bye.
Why does anyone believe anything those kids say ever?
I have no idea. It's the craziest thing. And the thing that's weird is, and I kind of know parents like this a little bit, but if Harriet overheard that conversation, she would deny it. Like, she just would be like, oh, they're just being children. Can't you take a little bit of bullying? It's just Charles. He smells like a horse.
Doesn't even count.
It doesn't even count.
Doesn't even count when it's the Ingalls.
No. That's going to be like an earworm. That's going to be, hey, what song is that?
People are, yeah. I love that song. It's a great, No Sugar Tonight.
No Sugar Tonight. So yeah, so Miss Beetle comes over to Charles and basically explains what's up. And in totally nice Miss Beetle fashion, even, you know, like she pulls it off nicely. He's appreciative, gives him the tablets. And this is total classic scene right here, right? Like this is
like awesome paw classic scene, like has a great feel to it. He's just being like a really, really good parent here. Mm-hmm. Has some really good lines. I love it.
It looks good too. It's, yeah, a lot of people go to this scene when they say, like, you know, a great paw moment.
Want to tell me about it?
No, sir.
Beetle stopped by. She's feeling kind of bad. I was afraid she might have done something to upset you.
She didn't do anything.
You know, when you see a friend run off like that, it bothers a person. You get to thinking all kinds of things. You sure it had nothing to do with Miss Beetle?
I'm sure.
Well, she'll be glad to hear that.
It was Nellie and Willie.
Those two. You kind of surprised me, Half Pint. I figured you'd be used to their teasing by now.
So, actually, just I know it's like a scene that we like, so I don't want to like totally cut it off.
My keyboard wasn't responding. I'm like,
I was like, oh, just way to ignore me. Way to ignore me. I don't want to totally like interrupt it because I know that we don't like this scene. But so speaking of like, why does anyone ever believe Nellie and Willie ever? And then here, you know, Paul's like, oh, those two.
Yeah,
like,
those two.
You know, you have to like learn to like brush it off.
Yeah.
But then in the Music Box episode, he is so quick to believe that Nellie has turned over a new leaf and that he and Laura are friends.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you so quick to think that suddenly they're friends?
Because they're like, angles. You know,
nobody should ever believe anything that Nellie and Willie are doing.
Bunch of dummies. They fall for it every time.
And this time it was. Tell me what it was about.
No.
You know, when a person doesn't want to tell another person something like that, it generally means that it was about the other person. It was about me, wasn't it?
What those little jerks say? What those little jerks say about me?
Yeah,
I'm gonna go beat them up tomorrow.
I'm gonna go beat up Willie.
In total patented punch, he goes flying 18 feet in the air. I don't care if he's 8 years old. I'm gonna kick his ass.
He said awful, like, dumb things.
Ass on the barrel.
Ass on the barrel.
Cash on the barrel.
He said that you couldn't get a decent job, and that all you could do was clean up after the end, and that you smelled bad.
They were right, 2 out of 3. And I do clean the stables. I come home from working all day, I don't exactly smell like a bottle of lemon verbena, now do I? Well, do I?
No.
All right, then.
No.
You sure did.
You smell like ass, Paul.
Oh, yeah! That's with a decent job. Now, that's something else. Any job a man can do to make his way in this world is a decent job, as long as he works hard at it and does his best.
Laura's holding her breath right the whole time, just wants to throw up.
Yeah.
It smells so bad.
You know, God didn't put sweat in a man's body for no reason. He put it there so he could work hard, cleanse himself, and feel proud. Don't you ever forget that. Hard-working folks only smell bad to some folks who have nothing else to do but stick their noses in the air.
So another classic, you know, line from Charles, right?
Yeah, totally.
So they're like, yay, my pa's awesome. Mary's off to work. Laura's off to school. Today's payday. And Laura gets a little bit of justice here, which I think is pretty good. But she doesn't get in trouble for
it. I'm not crying anymore, Nellie. And you better take it back.
Oh, all right. We have to play the thing that you have to take back.
Of course. Maybe we can get one.
Oh, she was saying, let's not play that game. Let's play horsey.
Where's your paw?
Where are we going to get one? She's like, where's your paw?
Paw, Laura. He smells like a horse. We could pretend and ride him. Take it back, Nellie.
I won't take it back. You can go crying to Miss Beetle and I won't take it back.
Yeah, we won't take it back.
This is kind of cool. Like the way she just calmly closes the book.
Yeah. I'm not crying anymore, Mary.
And also, she doesn't have Mary there to kind of calm her down.
Right.
Like, Laura, let it go. Let it go. And it's like, nope. She's unhinged.
She's getting the pounding.
Yeah.
Better take it back.
I won't take it back because it's true. Your paw smells like a dumb old horse.
I take it back. Hard-working folks only smell bad to folks that have nothing to do but stick their noses in the air. Well, whenever you stick your nose in the air with me, Nellie, it's gonna get punched.
Cash on the barrel.
So, yeah, hey.
Yeah, that is actually, since you pointed out how she closes the book so calmly, that yeah. is like this total, like, son of a bitch.
Like, you can, like you're gonna get it now, yeah.
Yeah.
Laura apologizes to Miss Beadle and thanks her for the books, which is nice. She doesn't mention that, you know, Nellie is going to be bleeding all over the classroom.
Right.
Let's see. McKay shows up talking cider.
Ingles.
Oh, McKay. That's coming along.
Yeah, I can see that. How about a little cider?
No, thank you. I want to keep moving as fast as I can.
Well, I don't think it's fast enough. You know, when you first came up with this idea, I didn't think you could make it work. That's why I kind of sat back and waited.
And this is where I was. I remember watching it, not knowing where the story was going, and thinking like, oh, man, this guy's like totally going to screw him over like Canton.
Yeah, like poor Pa.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I can do it. Believe me.
Oh, I do. I believe that. But I think if we work together, we could get it done a lot faster. What do you think?
With our best friend, Cider.
Yeah, he has his little jug with him and everything.
Yeah. I think we ought to both have a sip of cider and go to work.
Yeah, so rare instance of Pa drinking.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, he needs to loosen up a little bit.
He can use
stressful
a drink.
Time. Yeah. Stressful time.
So Mary is over at Mrs. Whipple's and... She needs to remind Mrs. Whipple that today's payday.
Mrs. Whipple? I told you, dear, no argument.
I wasn't going to, ma'am.
What is it, dear? What's
wrong?
Cash
on the barrel.
Speak up.
It's Friday, and I thought that on Friday...
Right, oh, land's sake, and I haven't paid you for the week.
Yes, ma'am.
See, that's another thing that's wrong with old people. Every once in a while, you've got to keep reminding them of things.
So she pays her $1.70, which is pretty good money for her. I mean, it's a week's worth of money. I mean, it's worth about $52 worth of, like, purchase power.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You know? I want, like, any guesses on how much money they might owe the mercantile? 3 months of working for McKay. And, you know, Mary. Well, actually, with Mary's help, it's probably going quicker.
It must be...
100?
Well, and I'm sure the McKay thing, too, because then when they did it together, I'm sure it was quicker, right?
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It must be quite a lot.
Yeah, like maybe $100. Money is a weird thing in Little House because, like, that oven was like $6, right?
Right, right.
But then they talk about, like, you know, how, you know, I just don't know. $25? $100? $1,000? I have no idea.
And $25.
What?
$10,000.
$10,000.
Cents extra for the excellence of your work.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know how people feel about Mrs. Whipple, but she kind of has always rubbed me the wrong way, and I think it's stuff like that.
Well, she doesn't owe any money. You know what philosophy she believes in?
Cash on the barrel.
Yep. So this is... So you were talking about Karen Grassley writing about this scene. I don't remember her writing about this particular scene.
Yeah, so she wrote about this scene in her autobiography, and it was like around the time when she was like not happy, thinking about leaving
season
and stuff
two.
Like that.
It's season two, though.
Yeah. I mean, I got the impression from her book that it seemed like the dissatisfaction happened pretty early. Yeah. You know, like in the series, but maybe like shortly after School Mom, you know, she kind of was like front and center in School Mom, and then, you know,
yeah,
didn't get another mom focused episode for a while. But yeah. So she was like, you know, dissatisfied thinking about leaving, and then, you know, Pa comes up in this scene and says these really nice romantic things to her. It's just like a nice scene, yeah, but and then like they good. Kiss at the end. Yeah, and it's beautifully shot. And then like when they kiss at the end, and then she said that like this kiss was like far more passionate than like what Charles usually gave Caroline, and that it was like Michael Landon trying to like lure her in to like staying on the show.
Yeah,
and I was kind of like, I mean, I just kind of was like, I mean, if that was her take on it, that was her take on it. But I was like, that kind of seems like
a bit much.
Maybe you're yeah. reading into that a bit.
Yeah. And maybe other things too.
Yeah.
Maybe you're reading into a few too many things.
Charles.
That's my opinion and my opinion alone.
You're back. I lost track of the time.
There's not much daylight left. Look at you.
Disgusting.
Oh, also, I put it in the notes. I always think on this show, when they're plowing and they put the reins like around their neck, it yeah. seems so dangerous because
yeah.
what if the horse like took off or something?
You know, we see like the way it's set up when the camera pulls away, but these shots are really close up. And then when they pull mm-hmm. away, they're really far.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to have shot this twice, like with cameras up front like this.
Mm. True.
But yeah, I'll just let
I must be a sight.
You are.
Yeah, there's no like safety break or something like that.
Your face is dirty, your hair's all askew, and you're still the prettiest woman a man ever set his eyes on. Being married to you is that I won't have the joy of asking you to be my wife again.
And I want to stop it there because the horses do go off and they kill Caroline.
Yeah, she's decapitated.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. But yeah, you see how far they are. I mean, it's kind of crazy. So let's see, Charles is finishing up. We're collecting what I think are potatoes. Very white potatoes.
I thought they were rocks.
But why would they be collecting rocks? Unless
I don't know, but yeah, they I look don't... like rocks.
No, I think they're potatoes.
Okay, those are the grossest potatoes I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, they're white. Like, I don't get it. They strange. So, let's see. We open up the dam, which kind of reminds me of a Father Murphy moment. So, Charles is just counting the money. And
my letter is T.
Enough to pay the bill at the Olsons with some to spare. Enough for some coffee, some tea, and a little white sugar. Thanks to all of you. Now. Brush your hair and put on your Sunday dresses. We're going to town. This family earned that money together. We're going to pay the bill together. Off you go. I'm going to go bathe in the creek.
That's what everybody should just say. I'm going to go bathe in a creek. That's the way you should say you're going to go take a shower. I'm going to go bathe in the creek.
Right. I'm going to go bathe in the creek. I'm going to start doing that, actually.
Yeah. So, they go in their Sunday best. Is this a little tub back here? Like a bathtub?
It looks that way.
Yeah.
Mrs. Ingalls, it's nice to see you.
It's nice to see you, Mr. Olson.
Who come to pay the bill, Nils?
Cash on the barrel.
Just a minute.
Harriet!
Yes?
Customers out here.
Coming.
My wife will take care of this. Got some work to do in the storeroom.
Talk, 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 talk.
Just like giving her the stare down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's the money we owe on the bill.
Oh! Well, I didn't expect you to be able to pay quite so soon.
The whole family worked together.
Yes. Oh, I had heard that Mary was out of school. I hope that she didn't fall too far behind in her work. On the contrary, Mary did quite nicely with her studies. Well, isn't that wonderful?
You're welcome to count it. It's all there.
Oh, no, we're old friends.
Well, there are a few things we need. Tobacco and some stick matches.
A writing tablet and lead pencil, please.
And some chalk.
I want some white sugar.
No sugar tonight, but coffee. No sugar tonight, but tea. No sugar.
You can see Mrs. Olson's turntable behind her.
Some stick matches.
A writing tablet and lead.
Well, certainly.
Oh, wait, did he say cash? I'm sorry, yeah.
And that'll be cash.
Cash on the barrel.
Well, certainly.
Nels is all like...
He looks like threatening with that thing.
Yeah. I don't know if that... I mean, is that a hay thing?
He's like, I'm going to beat your ass with a Harriet.
Charles! Hope we'll be seeing you around the store again regular.
You will.
It's kind of hard to change people, you know. She says things, but...
I understand.
That's quite a family you got. I'd like to think my young ones would all pull together like yours if things got bad, but... Like
they
I always
wouldn't.
Say...
Who are these degenerates just hanging out here and these people having a picnic? What's going on here? I've never noticed this little bench thing that's surrounding the tree.
That's kind of interesting.
Be a nice place to just kind of hang out and have a sarsaparilla.
We've always been lucky when it came to money. Believe it or not, Charles, I think you're the richest man in Walnut Grove.
Nels, I know I am. I'll see you.
The families here suck. There's no competition.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye. So I think that's a really, really strong season opener.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I think it's really, really great.
What would be... I was looking to see if there's anyone that's kind of crap talking about it on IMDb. Not really. The title seems exaggerated to me. Like, what?
Someone said that?
Yeah.
They're like, I think that Pa's the second richest... Man in Walnut Grove.
Right. I think the title is exaggerated. If the economic problem in general, other families must have the same problem. And the Ingalls family is not the only united family in the world or Walnut Grove either. Thanks a lot, Dr. Fernman Doggle.
The thing is, though, this episode is not really so much about a widespread economic problem right. as that, like, there was a specific job that the mill was executing that Charles was doing for Lars Hansen.
No, that Charles, didn't work out. Charles does say cash on a barrel a lot, but this person says it's one of his most used phrases. I don't think it's one of his most used phrases. I just think that it's one of his most hypocritical phrases.
Well, and I think it's one of those ones that sticks out to people a lot because it's hypocritical, and also because the Ingalls are, like, so poor that, like, anything, like, money-related with them mm-hmm. is going to kind of stand out.
But this person just kind of, like, made a few of the points that we did, saying, I don't understand why Harriet is questioning as to wanting to collect what she's owed, and I also don't understand Nelson in his idea, referred to him as Nelson. In his
I've
idea
seen
of
people
collecting.
Do that here and there. I don't know if that actually is his full
yeah,
name.
No one knows. We have no idea.
It's a mystery. Sure, why not?
Sure. Nelson Olsen.
That's a mouthful.
It's Annabelle and Nelson. I don't know.
Yeah, Annabelle and Nelson Olsen.
It's a tough name.
Annabelle Olsen.
Annabelle Olsen? Yeah. Annie O.
Annie Olsen.
It's Annie Olsen. That's what they would call her, Annie, right? Annie.
Annie.
Annie Olsen.
I suppose it could be, you could go by, like, Belle or Bella. Bella Olsen.
But another nickname for Nelson would be Sonny, right? So Sonny, oh, yeah. Sonny Olsen. Mm-hmm. That sounds Sonny like a boxer.
Sounds Sonny like, O.
Sonny O. It's Annie and Sonny O. Yeah. So this is a good episode, and people should head on over on Facebook, go to LandonNation.com, or go on Facebook and look up Landon Nation and join, or go over to LandonNation.com, or WannaGrovecast.com.
So, speaking of...
Yeah.
This just popped in my head. I have to get it out before I forget. Go. So speaking of Annie and Annie O.
Annie O.
So when we learned that episode that Nelson O is ashamed of his sister because she's fat, I guess.
Yes.
Like, is the basis of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's he always gives Harriet a hard time about being fat, which she totally is not. But is he so, like fat phobic
mm-hmm.
that he, like, really can't stand people? You know what I mean?
He's like
his sister was really fat.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's like he's, like, afraid that his wife is going to be like that or something. So even though she's, like, totally not really fat or anything, he's, like, always, like, making remarks about it.
You know, in Annabelle, I have it in front of me. He made the statement, "I helped drive you out of the house, so you had to leave." He said that to Annabelle. So you have to wonder, what does that mean? Like, something had to have happened to drive her out of the house.
Yeah, and then, like, where were their parents in all of this, and how were they acting?
Yeah, like, it's a very, like, we need a prequel to...
We do, yeah, we need, like, a whole series.
The Annie O show.
the Annie O story.
It's Sonny and Annie hour. But yeah, I mean, I kind of... That line alone just kind of makes me kind of wonder, like, was he a terror to her? Like, was he basically Nelly?
Ah, right. Because we're always thinking that the kids are, like, taking after Harriet or mm-hmm. under her influence and stuff.
Yeah, but
maybe... what if he actually was, like, kind of bad?
Yeah. I mean, Nelly would grow up to be a far more adjusted adult.
Right. Yeah.
What's to say that he wasn't just absolutely awful? I kind of like to think that a little bit. I have.
And maybe it's kind of like why he's so, like, mellow as an adult.
Yeah, he's already gotten all of his anger and hostility out of his system from when he was a kid and he killed those people.
Killed those people when he went on his murderous rampage.
Like loosening wagon wheels and stuff like that. God knows what Nels did. But I think that's the theory we should go with. Nels grew up just as bad, if not worse, than Nelly. I mean, he would wake up before her, make his porridge, And he would get to the school before they even lit the furnace.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But, well, Kelly, thank you so much for doing this episode. As always, it's fun, fun, fun. People should check out Dr. Quincast while you're at it. And I'm looking for...
I like it.
Yeah, that's Sully. I can't wait to jump into a Dr. Quinn episode. I haven't actually watched it in several weeks.
Yeah, I've been watching it. Well, I've kind of gone through kind of like phases with shows while I've been on maternity leave. So like I was watching a ton of Little House, and then I was watching like ton of Dr. Quinn, you know, like in binge quantities. And then lately on Pluto, they just started a channel that's just Cheers and Frasier. So I've just been like playing that all the time lately.
You know, Tori, I've been watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Ted Danson is in that. And it's he's really funny in it, I think. And he plays General Lee. Like, it's like he plays Ted Danson, but in the show he gets the role of Lee, and it's just cool. It's a movie called Lee. And he looks just so ridiculous, and they show like a scene that he's in, and just the beard and everything just looks so ridiculous. And it's just very funny. But he,
I should I like watch that. That sounds funny.
I think you would like. I think you would like Curb Your Enthusiasm. You like Seinfeld, right?
I do. Yeah, I love Seinfeld.
I think in a lot of ways, it's just as good. Some people say it's better. Some people say it's worse. It's just that it's a lot more foul. There's a lot more cursing. I don't know if you can handle that. I'm just kidding. it's like. Whoops, I hit the button. It didn't trigger.
Yes, you lady.
But yeah, it's really funny. I think you would enjoy it. I highly recommend it.
I think I've seen like one episode, because there's an episode with Elaine in it, right?
Yeah, like they actually do a sign. You know, I don't want to give away any spoilers.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've seen that episode. But
she's in several of them. Like, and she plays herself. You know, that's why I kind of like, you know, everybody's kind of playing themselves, even though it's kind of like... a bloated version of themselves. Like, it's like this like pompous and crazy version.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's definitely worth your while, especially if you like Seinfeld.